Well, hello. Thank you for joining this study today. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you. Brothers and sisters, the Lord says, know that your labor is not in vain, that the Lord knows everything that you're doing and why you do it, and He knows when you open His Word and to get around His Word on purpose, because that is exactly the way you have to do it if you're going to study God's Word. You have to do it on purpose, don't you? Because the world doesn't want you to study it. It don't want you around. It'll do everything it can to get you away from God's Word. The devil definitely does it, and his crowd. And that flesh is always trying to get you away from God's Word and trying to get you to do something else. But whenever you study God's Word like this and you come and on purpose to sit down and let God the Holy Ghost teach you from God's Word, then the Lord says that it's not in vain, that He's going to reward you for that. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate you and respect you for doing this. So, we're getting back into our study of the letter J called judgment and judging. And we've been over quite a bit already, and this, the last thing I think that we studied was concerning a judge. What is a judge? And we had a couple topics that we went over. We studied the history of judges in Scripture. Do you remember that? And also, we went over the procedures of judges according to the Scriptures, validating witnesses and listening to the accused and position parties, the position of the parties. And it's, isn't it extraordinary how the Scriptures have all this laid out already, and how man thinks that he's got the grip on government, the perfect government, and things like that. And man can't keep a perfect government, because man is sinful and man is greedy and man has got a fallen nature and the Adamic nature, and somewhere in there, you talk about all this partisanship and all this getting along. Let's all just get along. It ain't going to happen. That Adamic nature is the closest you're going to get to any kind of government working on this planet with human beings is in the church, the body of Christ, because people fear God there, and that's going to pot, just like the Lord said, apostasy in this Laodicean age and just before the Lord comes back. And that's something I believe that's going to happen soon, that the Lord's coming back. The Lord said, you see the signs of the times. You can tell when the sky is red and what's going to happen, but you can't look around you and tell. And there's five-year-old little girls committing suicide because they look around them and they can see that there ain't nothing to live for. Isn't that something? Wow, people are funny, ain't they? But we talked about the procedures of the judges. And then after that, we studied the last topic under the heading of a judge, the office of a judge, and what the Scriptures had to say about that, that it was that you had to have great wisdom, and it was restricted by righteousness. And that right there puts our government. Now, don't get me wrong. There's all kinds. I respect all these politicians that are up in legislators and the ones that make the laws and the ones that the judges and all the ones that are standing up for the Lord and fear the Lord. I respect them. But boy, they sure got a hoe to row being in that position, don't they? We need to pray for them, because the only way they're going to and there's some of them, boy, they stand up and they get it for it, but they stand up and they say it. And I'm not no expert on government or even the people or what it's all about and all this, that, and the other, but I know the difference in right and wrong. Man, you got grown-ups that don't know that. You know the difference in right and wrong? The Bible says you can be the head of a government, you can be the president of the United States, you can be a monarch, you can be anything you want to title yourself, but the only way you're going to have any wisdom is dependent on how much you can tell the difference between right and wrong. Childlike faith. Isn't that neat? I love the way the Lord does things, don't you? You know, easily corrupted. We're talking about that office of judges in Scripture that's easily corrupted, and it is, because of that Adamic nature and bribery, like the Lord said, and respecting persons and things like that. But today we're going to get into a new topic, and it's interesting. And you say, well, brother, we're going to talk about judges of Israel. The judges of Israel. There was a time in Scripture where Israel went through. Now, this is specifically with Israel. It's not got to do with the Gentiles at all. Just shove the Gentiles, us. Well, we're not Gentiles anymore, but we're Gentiles according to what the Jews are. But nationally, this has to do what we're going to talk about today with the judges of Israel, because that's all the judges, the book of Judges, and talking about 1st and 2nd Samuel. That's where the judges are. And there's 15 of them, and we're going to go over as many as we can today and talk a little bit about them. Now, you say, well, why are we going to talk about the judges? We're talking about judgment and judging, and we're trying to figure out what the Scripture says about us. Well, we need a background in the Scriptures about what God thinks about judging and what He told these judges, and how even these judges, what their character was. I mean, what do you think of a judge? That he's mild-mannered, that he's got good character, that he's upright, and he checks himself all the time when he's before people, and he does his very best not to make the wrong decisions. What do you picture when you picture a judge? Is that what the Scriptures describe judges as? You don't know? Why don't you know? Well, we're going to find that out, see. If the Scriptures tell us about 15 different judges that God used to deliver Israel 15 different times, yeah, 15 different times, Israel, the nation of Israel, well, at least 15 different times, they went into apostasy. They were serving the Lord, and then they started messing around with other gods and other women and other this and other that, rather than their own nation and sticking with their own kind. There's a principle for you. But instead of sticking, they were messing around, and they started following these corrupt gods and these wicked gods, and it corrupted them, and God turned them over to another, like Nebuchadnezzar, and turned them over to the Philistines, and turned them over to, and made them captives, just like America's going into captivity now. And if you can't tell that, man, you don't know, you can't see very far. Unless the Lord has mercy on this country, this country's going to become servants to another people. You watch. The Lord is good about doing that. He done that to Israel so many times. But when He did it, and the nation repented and decided that they were in the wrong, and they apologized to the Lord and repented and called out for Him to save them, He sent them a judge. He sent them a judge, and the judge's purpose was to deliver them from their enemies and get them back to the Lord. So we're going to go over and talk about some of these by name and talk about what they were like. And I think, well, I don't think, I know that having the background of these judges and the Scriptures, even though it was specifically to the nation of Israel, can give us some background about what judges are supposed to be like in God's mind and what they're not supposed to be like. And that'll help us with our judging and judgments. I mean, all this is going to blend together. You take your hands and open them up and spread your fingers wide and just put them together by palm, and then fold your fingers and intertwine them with one another. That's how God's Word does. When you study all of it and you rightly divide it, it comes together so perfectly and just blends together just like that. And then you know you rightly divide it, and then you know the ins and the outs and the ups and the downs, and you're not majoring on something that's not supposed to be majored on, and you know the doctrine of the things, you see. Having said all that, let's get into today and talk about Judges of Israel. Now, first of all, before we begin with talking about the individual judges and naming them by name, we need to find out what the characteristics of the era was, what it was like in Israel during the time of the judges and what was going on. And we're not going to spend a great deal of time. I just have two facts about that. First thing is that there was no central authority. There was no authority in Israel as far as before the judges came. The Bible says in Judges chapter 17, verse 6 and verse 21, verse 25, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." In those days there was no king in Israel. This is chapter 21, verse 25. "Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." It's said twice over in Judges, and mentioned twice in chapter 17, 6 and chapter 21, verse 25. Exactly the same. So one characteristic of the era before the judges came in, as they were coming in, is that there wasn't any authority. There wasn't no authority. And you know how things get when there's not an authority. That's what these wackos are doing in society now, is trying to just diminish all the authority and get rid of all the authority, and every man do that which is right in his own eyes. And you see how that happens and what comes about and the fruit of all that mess? Yeah. The second thing concerning the era was there's spiritual decline. Just like it's happening in America. Isn't it amazing how this is going to just line up? We're not talking about America, but there is spiritual decline in America like never, ever before I've seen in my lifetime. What about you? Can you see a difference? Can you see a decline in spiritual things? The Bible says there's spiritual decline during that era. Was one of the characteristics. Let me read you some scripture concerning that time. Judges chapter 2, and if you've got your Bibles there or whatever, hopefully you do. I'm pretty sure you do. And we're going to be in the book of Judges mostly, and if toward the end of it, we'll slip over into 1 Samuel just a little bit. But mostly Judges. Judges chapter 2 and verse 10 through 19, I want to read you this, talking about spiritual decline. "And also all the generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose after generation after them." There arose a generation after them which knew not the Lord. That's generations that are coming up in America right now. They don't know the Lord. I have literally asked somebody if they knew Jesus, and they had never heard the name of Jesus. Can you believe that? That in America, there are people that are walking around that's never, ever heard the name of Jesus in America. That's crazy. It only happened to me once, but it happened. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers." They all passed away. They all went to be buried with their fathers. "And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." Nobody had passed down the things that God done and God's principles and God's character and passed down all the things that they learned about the Lord. Nobody was passing that down. Man, that's so familiar. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them." You notice how many different gods are coming into America now? Lots of different ones. "And bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger." And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto the judges, but they went a whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. God is merciful, isn't he? And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, and following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. That's the characteristic of the error in detail right there. That's exactly what we're going to go through and see and name these judges and talk about them a little bit, all 15 of them. And you see the background and how the Lord brought it about and why he brought it about. And this is called the time of the judges, and this is where the book of Judges and what it is about. It's written about the judges that God sent to Israel whenever they didn't have a king and they were misbehaving and not following the Lord and messing around with these other people that had other gods. And the Lord would send them and they would become slaves and servants to these other people and being taken to the other countries and taken captive. And they would call out to the Lord, and this happened many, many times, and the Lord would use judges to save them and to rescue them. And then when that judge died, back they went. Back they went. So that's the characteristic. They had no authorities, no central authorities, and there was spiritual decline going on. So now let's go in and talk about the judges themselves and who God sent, and we'll name them by name. And see them chronologically as they were, as the Lord sent them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, in that way. The first judge by name was Othniel. Othniel. In the Bible, he's found in Judges chapter 3 and verse 9 through 11. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, this is the first time, or the first one that the Lord sent, cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered, and I'm going to try this, Chushar-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against, I'm not going to say it again, against this man that I tried to mention. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Okay, so there's your first judge. The Israelites got themselves in trouble with God, and they were in bondage and under the king of Mesopotamia. And the first judge that the Lord called out specifically by name was Othniel. And he sent him, and he went and made war against this king and overcame him. And the Israelites began to have rest again for repenting and the Lord getting back into the Lord's favor and serving him again. And they had it for 40 years. Now, Othniel was the first of the biblical judges, found in the book of Judges during the period of the judges, and it is a period, parentheses. It doesn't spread all the way through the scriptures. It's not found in the New Testament at all. It's not in the New Testament at all. It's not during the time of Jesus Christ. It's not. It's all Old Testament business in the book of Judges with the children of Israel only. Othniel was the first of the biblical judges, and he was a member of the tribe of Caleb, of the tribe of Judah. He delivered the erring Israelites from 8 years of oppression and bondage under this fella Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. You're probably going to laugh when you figure out that name, but I can't say it. King of Mesopotamia. He was a younger brother of Caleb. He is found in Judges chapter 3, Othniel. Now, under him, the land had rest for 40 years. Now, Othniel means, it's uncertain what his name means, but there has been some things that have been said that it means God, he is my strength, or God has helped me. That could be what his name means, but it's uncertain, but it's been said that. All right, he had some cousins, Aksa, Elah, Eru, and Naam. Those were his cousins. His wife was Achsh, however you pronounce that. I'm not very Hebrew. She was the daughter of Caleb. She was the daughter of Caleb, and this was when Caleb offered his daughter for those that would go out and fight, and he set out a challenge and offered to give his daughter, and Othniel was the one that done it, and he got Caleb's daughter. So Caleb's daughter was his wife. His parents were Kenaz, or the name of Kenaz, and his successor, as far as a judge, is our next judge that we're going to go to. So, we see Othniel. He's the first one of the judges in the book of Judges. His successor is the second judge of Israel, which is called Ehud, E-H-U-D. This is the second person that the Lord called out after Israel was 40 years in peace, and they slipped again and went into troubles and serving other gods and misbehaving themselves and not serving the Lord and honoring him. So the Lord put them in bondage again after that 40 years of rest. And when they called out to the Lord, he sent Ehud. Let's read about it. It's found in Judges chapter 3 also. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel the son of Kenaz died. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab. Moab this time, not Mesopotamia, but the king of Moab this time, against Israel. Don't say God won't send an enemy against you if you're not going to serve him and you're going to treat him like garbage. The Lord's not going to be manipulated by anybody. And if you say you love him, you ought to act like you love me. If you love me, keep my commandments, the Lord says. Say, you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say. He's right, isn't he? I mean, we shouldn't be bragging about how Christian-y we are and this, that, and the other if we're not sincere and upright in our hearts about serving the Lord. I didn't say perfect. I said sincere. We know whether or not we mean business with the Lord, and we love him and appreciate him and am thankful to him. And he knows the battles that we fight against with the flesh and the devil in this world. He knows that. But what is your heart like? In your heart, has your heart departed from the Lord? Is there anything you're hiding from him? You see? Things like that. But this is what got the children of Israel in trouble. And he gathered unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek and went out and smote Israel and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. It was 8 the first time, and now it's 18 this time. The Lord bumped it up a little for them. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, another judge, the second judge, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. And Ehud made him a dagger. Now, you've read about this before. This is the fella that now we're also, notice how we're going through these judges. I want you to notice the personalities of these judges and the character of these judges and what these judges' potential was and what they actually did instead of just sitting on the bench with a robe on and making rulings. These judges were busy, man. They were warriors. They were fighters. They went to war. Most of these judges were warriors. They weren't sissies by no means. And they were somebody to be feared when God sent them, because when they sent them, they came to do business with the enemy. So you see, we're seeing a whole different kind of judge here. What God sees as a judge and what he sends as a judge. We're talking about a nation getting delivered by one man. You see? The second one, but when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger. It was between a knife and a sword. It was like a short sword, which had two edges of a cubit length. Now, a cubit is said to be about 18 inches long. So you see, that's either a short sword or a long knife. But it was a cubit length. Now, remember, he's left-handed, and he did gird it under his garment upon his right thigh. So he's left-handed, and he put this knife on his thigh, hung it on his thigh, under his clothes. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab. And Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had made for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his hand, his left hand, and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. And the haft, talking about the part that you hold in your hand, also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. When Ehud went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them, when he was gone out, his servants came. And when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, surely he covereth his feet in the summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed, and behold, opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened them, and behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried, and passed beyond the quarries, and escaped unto Sirath. And it came to pass, when he was come, that he blew the trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him, and took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over, and they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty and all men of valor, and there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 40 years. So we see under the second judge, or before the second judge, first time they were in bondage for 8 years under Mesopotamia. The Lord delivered them. They had peace for 40 years, and they went back into their garbage. And they cried out to the Lord, and after eight years, the Lord they went back into their garbage, and after 18 years, they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord sent them this fella, Ehud, and he went and killed that king by himself. Now, you know any judges like that? I mean, when God sends a judge in the scriptures, they're coming to do something and take care of business for him. And that's what they did, at least these two so far. And did you know that? I mean, these judges, we're learning about judgment and judging. So far, these two judges wouldn't make it in America's judgment lineup of what judgment and judging is, would they? Why, you can't be doing them kind of things. You can't put a knife in a guy's stomach and kill him. You got to negotiate with him all and get some peace negotiations going about blabbity, blabbity, blah. I mean, he went, God sent them, and they went and took care of business. Judges. They delivered the nation. There wasn't no playing around, no horsing around. It was business. Let's do this. And then he took the nation and went down there and killed 10,000 men, and none of them escaped. And Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 40 years, 80 years. Back to the Lord for 80 years. All right, so what happened then? Well, let's talk about Ehud. Let me give you a little information on him some more. Ehud served as a second judge of Israel, and he followed Othniel, the first one we talked about. After Othniel's death, the people of Israel sinned and fell to the king of Moab. And God put them under the king of Moab, and they served him for 18 years. You talk about being a slave. You want to be a slave? You don't want to be a slave? Then serve the Lord. If you don't want to serve the Lord, you're going to serve somebody, and he'll send them to you, and he'll take you over, and you will be a servant of your enemy. And you'll like it, because the Lord's going to make you do it. If you don't want to serve the Lord, you're going to serve your enemy. And that goes for America, too. And you just hold your breath and watch this happen. When the Israelites cried out for help from the Lord, he sent Ehud to serve as judge and deliver them. And he did. Ehud is found in Judges chapter 3. That's what we read just now. And he was a left-handed man. I think he's the only one that was left-handed. And you left-handers don't need to be bragging about that. But, I mean, you could, because this fellow was a hot shot for the Lord. Boy, he could do things. And he got that stuff done. And he shoved that sword in that man's belly and shoved it so far that the fat closed in around it. And it was inside of him. And there wasn't no way for him to get it out and save himself. So he took care of business and then went and got the rest of them. And he's of the tribe of Benjamin. We talked about that. He lived, he was born in around 1318 B.C. And he lived in Canaan. He was born in Canaan. And it said that he died around, now all these are around about, I'm not a hot shot on chronology and stuff like that. I do study it and am studying it right now, but it's some hard studying. He died around 1217 B.C., and his full name was Ehud ben Gera. That was his full name. Okay, so he was the second judge, Ehud. And who was the first? Othniel. That's right. Othniel. And the second one was Ehud. That's right. Okay, so let's go to the third one. Well, Israel Well, what'd they do? Here we go, Judges chapter 3. And after Ehud, after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. Now this fellow here, he is a judge just as much as any of the other judges, but he's the least spoken of in the book of Judges. And the scriptures don't tell us why the Lord didn't record, that the Holy Ghost didn't record more in the scriptures about this man, but he didn't. And that's just the way it is. But his name was Shamgar. And he judged Israel. He was the third judge of Israel. And he went after the Philistines. The Philistines are the ones that the Israelites fell to after they had that 80 years rest under Ehud. And Ehud died, and they went back and messed around some more and left the Lord, and the Lord put them under the Philistines. And when Shamgar come along, he slew, it says, the only thing the scriptures say, this is how he was a mighty man. I mean, who you know that can slay 600 men, and these are warriors, Philistine warriors, soldiers. He slew 600 men with an ox goad. And you know what an ox goad is? It's like a stick. It's a goad. You goad the oxes with. You punch them with it. You goad them with it. And they move. They get moving. But he took one of them and beat the tar out of 600 Philistine warriors. And the Philistines were known for being some pretty rough characters when it come to army and when it come to military stuff, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. When God sends a man to do something, he equips him with the power to do it, and tells him how to do it, when to do it. And if God sends you to do it, you can take a stick and beat the tar out of them and get God's business done. And that's what Shamgar did. He's found in the book of Judges of chapter 3. He was the third judge of Israel that we read about. He's the one, there's only one verse in the scriptures about him, and that's the one that we read, Judges 3:31. And not much else is known about him. The Lord didn't tell us much about him. He was the son of Anath. He killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad, which was quite a feat, being that the Philistines were known as warriors. And he's only outdone as far as strength and being written in the scriptures as far as having strength. He's only outdone by one other, and that's Samson, who also was a judge, and we'll get to that later on. But he's only outdone as far as strength and being talked about doing these feats of unnatural things that a man. I mean, that's the exception. That's not the rule. The rule is a man can't beat up 600 warriors by himself with a stick. So you see, Shamgar. All right, and that he's the one that is spoken of the least, and we don't know why, but that doesn't take away from him. He was sent from God. He did deliver Israel, and they were delivered. Okay, and then we come to the fourth judge, and this here is going to surprise you, all you ones out there that think that God mistreats women and that women ain't included into things and blobbity blabbity blah blah blah. And, you know, just line up with what God intends for you to be and what you are and how you were born and what you know the truth is, and line up with the Lord, and you will have peace, and you will be happy with yourself before the Lord, and you will be content, and your conscience won't be violated about yourself. But this fourth judge, and the reason I said all that, is a female. Yeah, you didn't know that? God sent a judge of a female. Her name was Deborah. Deborah's the fourth judge. Am I right? Yeah, the fourth judge of Israel. And you find her in Judges chapter 4. Now, this gal right here, she was a fighter. She actually went and fought and went out to war. She was married and had a husband, and she honored him, just like the scripture said, and she was a wife, but she was a warrior. Now, I don't know how all that is, but that's all you feminists and all you women that think that you've got it so bad and that God doesn't honor women, you're wrong. You're wrong. Here's Deborah, and she's right in the middle of all these judges, and she's the only female among them. But God listed her and used her as the fourth judge to deliver a nation. A nation. Did you get that? Don't say that God doesn't use women and that he doesn't honor them and he doesn't use them for his purposes and he does and things of that nature. You're wrong, because he does. And what the problem is with all these name-calling and all this stupid stuff that's going on in the world with female and male and women and men and all this is selfishness. It's selfishness is what it is. It's thinking about yourself and not, I mean, if we line up with what the Lord says and the Lord Jesus Christ and what he intends for our spirit to be like and what our attitude ought to be like and what our belief system ought to be like and following him, like he said and the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. And we line up with all that. You don't have them kind of issues. You don't have them kind of issues. But here's Deborah. Let's talk about her. And I think she'll be the last one we talk about of the 15 today. Judges chapter 4, and let me read that to you. And Deborah, she was also a prophetess. She's one of, I think, five in the Old Testament. I'm not sure. I could be wrong, but I think I'm right around, almost right about it. I think I might even have that annotated on here and tell you about it in a minute. But, and Deborah the prophetess, the wife of Lipidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under a palm tree of Deborah, between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. She was a judge. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kedeshela Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will go with thee. Notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. This is Deborah speaking. Whenever we go to fight, it's not going to be for our honor. It's not going to be for your honor. It said, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. In other words, we're going to go fight this fight, but this is the Lord's fight, and we're going to do what he told us to do and go fight this fight. But Sisera is going to be killed in a shameful way. He's not going to be killed in a warrior type way and dying for your country out in the middle of a great battle and things like that. He's going to die from the hand of a woman. And we read about that. And boy, he died a terrible death. A woman run a nail through his brain when he was sleeping and brought a hammer and a spike in there and drove it through his temples and nailed him to the ground. How about them judges, huh? They sure wasn't due in this society, would they? But that's the judges God sent to get Israel and to deliver them and bring them back to him. When God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it, and he gets it done. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, and let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest 40 years. 40 years. And the scripture goes on from there, and it tells that they went and that they got Sisera, the enemy, on the run. And he was running. I'm just giving you a little background on it. He was running on foot, and they were chasing him, and he found this woman's house, and he asked her to let him come in and hide. And he went in, and she knew who he was and let him come in, but he didn't know what she was up to. And he came in, and he was so tired that he couldn't stay awake, and she gave him a glass of milk, and that really knocked him out. And when he was sleeping, she went out and got one of them tent nails and come back in there and put it right up to his temple and draw it back on a hammer and nailed that thing all the way through his skull. And God complimented her. Yeah. Complimented her. So you see all these women fighting? Fighting for what's right? Fighting for God's business? Yeah. Yeah. Deborah, the fourth judge, delivered Israel, and they had rest for 40 years. 40 years. 40 years. By a woman. Isn't that something? Deborah was the only woman in the Bible. Here's some facts about her. She was the only woman in the Bible that was a judge over Israel. She was also a prophetess. She was the fourth judge. Like I said, she was also a prophetess. It was five. She was one out of five prophetesses mentioned in the Old Testament. Now, what is a prophetess? It's a woman that speaks God's word, a female preacher of sort, a prophet. They prophesy what God is going to do, and it comes to pass. She was a prophetess, not like a preacher today. The New Testament changes that, okay? She was also a prophetess, one out of five of the Old Testament. The others were Miriam. You remember her? That was Moses' and Aaron's sister. And Huldah was another one, and Noadiah, and then there's one mentioned in Isaiah chapter 8 that's just called the prophetess, the prophetess. So there's five of them, and she was one of them. God doesn't use women. Yeah, right. Shame on you. Shame on you for even thinking that. Get you thinking with the scriptures and quit all that stinking thinking. She also was a poet. She was a poet. And in Judges chapter 5, her story is often called the Song of Deborah. The Song of Deborah. Deborah's courage and wisdom is in calling up an army to break Hazor's control, gave the Israelites 40 years of peace. She rendered her judgments beneath a date palm tree. It wasn't no stuffy courtroom. It was under a date palm tree. Between Ramah and Benjamin and Bethel in the land of Ephraim. Her husband was Lippidoth. How about that? A woman with character, man. Wow. She's something. But she was the fourth judge of Israel. There's only 15 of them. She was the only female judge mentioned that helped God deliver Israel the fourth time. The fourth time. Okay? So we're going to stop right there, brothers and sisters, and interesting, isn't it? But what do you think of the judges? What kind of character do these judges have? You never see God, you never see the Lord coming down on one of these judges and for the way they do and what they do and delivering Israel. He sends them for a mission, and they come. And they deliver the Israelites, and then they judge them. They judge all their problems. They bring the little things to them. Oh, what's his name? Stole something from me. And they're judging. Okay? And they do that. But the first thing they do is they come and they judge the enemy and subdue them and free the Israelites and get them back under God's favor and servitude, and they serve the Lord again like they shouldn't have never left, like some of us do, like some of you do, left the Lord and need to get back to him. And all it takes is just to talk to him, just to tell him the truth. Just don't hide nothing from him. You ain't got to tell everybody else. Just tell him. Get in your closet and tell the Lord the truth. And you'll be surprised how fast he'll take you back. That's the truth. That's the truth. But the Lord spent lots and lots of years with these judges going back and forth with Israel, back and forth. We're only on the fourth judge. So who was the first judge? You remember? Othniel. That's right. And the second? Ehud. And the third? Shamgar. And the fourth? Deborah. All right. Well done. Well done. Okay, let me give you the scriptures for today. And we'll stop right there and we'll pick up on the next judge, the fifth judge of Israel that God sent to deliver them. If a whole nation keeps going back and forth and falling, and every one of them had some things that were similar every time that they fell, and you know what that was? Messing around with other people's gods and messing around with other people that believe different things about different gods and compromising and making concessions with other gods. Jesus summed up the whole law. You know what he said? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And there was one more, but, and he said, the second is like unto the first, love thy neighbors thyself. If you do them two things and you get good at them, you've done the whole law under the New Testament, under faith, under grace, you see. But in the Old Testament, that was something, and you'll notice that, and I want you to notice that as we go through these judges, that Israel falls, and one of the thing characteristics of their fall is messing around with other people's gods and messing around with people that serve the devil and messing around with the enemies of God. You're going to find out that God is a segregist, if that's a word. He believes in separation. Yes, he does. And he even tells us to come out from among them. Yep. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, like you're doing right now, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And God bless you for studying God's word and sitting in here and just learning and allowing God to teach you. Isn't it wonderful? It's wonderful. So here's the, you sitting there, you chewing an eraser off your pencil? Okay, here's the scriptures for today. Judges chapter 17, verse 6. And along with that was also chapter 21, verse 25. And then we had Judges chapter 2, verse 10 through 19. And then we had Judges chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. And then we had Judges chapter 3, verse 11 through 30. And then we had Judges chapter 3, verse 31. And then we had Judges chapter 4, verse 4 through 9, and chapter 5, verse 31. And those were the scriptures about Deborah. Okay? And then we're going to get into our fifth judge when we come back on our next study and find out who he was and how the Lord used him and who he delivered them from and some details about him. And interesting stuff, isn't it? Do you think this has any kind of bearing on what we're studying as far as judgment and judging? Sure it does. Sure it does. We need to know what God thinks of judgment. I mean, if God's going to deliver a nation over a period of all these years, so far we had 8, 18, 40, and 80 years, and way a couple hundred years so far, that God's been dealing with these Israelites and the nation going corrupt and then bringing them back and them having rest and having rest and having peace. And the kind of judges he uses to do it. It does have a bearing on what we should think about judgment and judging. That's why we're going over this, so we can see. If God was going to send anything that he thought was a judge and name him a judge and it be in a specific parenthetical time, the time of the judges, just for the Israelites who God loves, and he was going to send the kind of judges that God chose, these are them. So we're getting a piece of God's mind and in his word about what is a judge? What is a judge? And remember what we're talking about is the judges of Israel. And we talked about the characteristic of the error. And then we went into talking about the judges by name today. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, and Deborah. Okay? All right. Well, the Lord bless you. And I really appreciate you, and I wish we could be face-to-face and studying and just having a wonderful time of fellowship. The Lord bless you, and this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I'll talk to you on the next one, and we'll study together and learn our God's Word. Amen. Bye-bye.